Joining us now, she is the most recent winner on the Symetra Tour. Lauren Kim joins us. Lauren, welcome into the golf shop.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, so, first win on the LPGA Symetra Tour, and a nice strong finish. I mean, you eagled 18. There was never a moment to relax during this tournament. It's not like you had a three-shot lead and you got to coast down the last few holes, was there?
Right. No, not at all. I know. I eagled 18. After the eagle and 18, I the first thing I said walking off that green, one of my friends came to give me a hug, and she's like, amazing round. Like, you did so great. I'm so proud of you. And the only thing I could say to her was, I hope that's enough. And I clearly remember, the walking into 18, 7 under, and just thinking, I got to do some, I got to get to at least 8, if not more. And so I just, something within me, and I hit it on the green, and the putt was pretty straight, and I saw it going in like I had every other putt that day, and it happened to drop. So, but I remember walking off that green being like, I hope that's enough, and it barely was. So it was pretty exciting.
I mean, did you start the day with a number in mind? I mean, to go out and shoot 63, is one thing. When you're chasing the lead, it's definitely another thing. Was there a number in mind, like, I got to get to this to actually even have a chance? And when did you start thinking? Because, you started off with a couple pars, and then all of a sudden, four straight birdies.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't think there was a specific number in mind. I was telling everybody earlier, I kind of went into the day with an intention to have fun and just, enjoy the day. I had my host's son on the bag that day, and we were just shooting the breeze and, just talking and having, joking around, having a good time. And I think after the first two pars, kind of get my feet on the ground during the round, and then those four birdies in a row kind of set the pace, I guess, for the round. And after that, I was like, okay, let's see, let's see how low we can go today. And there was never really a specific number in mind, I think, which, in the long run, helped me kind of, not limit myself in terms of a specific number and nor put expectation on the round. So I think, it helped both ways, kind of not having that specific number. And then I think at a certain point, you start to realize, oh, wow, I with this many birdies, I could be in the lead. And on 14T, I saw my name on the top of that leaderboard. I think I was maybe one stroke ahead at that point, at 8 under for the tournament. And, that's when the thoughts kind of start creeping in, like, oh, I could win this. And, trying to quiet your mind gets a little harder. So I think that's probably 14T is when I really realized, okay, like, it's game time. I got to, kind of try to make a move. And those, 15, 16, 17 are not easy holes. So you kind of got to keep your focus and keep plugging along.
Well, I mean, getting that first professional win is a huge deal, in now what is your second year on tour. But it's interesting because 5 years ago when we started hosting a Symetra events here in Charlotte, one win pretty much puts you in the race for the card. Do you wish you were born a few years earlier?
I guess in some ways, yeah. I mean, if you look at last year's race, it was, it was pretty crazy. People were getting knocked out every week, 9, 10, 11 spots. And I you look at how much money the 10th person made last year, and I think it was somewhere close, if I might be mistaken, but somewhere close to $50,000 or $60,000. And, to think about, okay, I made close to 19 last week, and it's only a third of the way, if even, there. And so, there's pros and cons to being born 3 years later, but I don't know. I enjoy the competition, and I enjoy seeing, how good I can be every week and improving every week. So we'll see how things shake out. But I think, I was talking to a couple of my friends, and I think the most important thing after, winning, especially winning the first event of the season, is to not take it for granted and, to keep practicing the way you would have practiced if you hadn't won, and to kind of keep that mental focus, because it's easy to get complacent and kind of sit back and say, oh, the work is done. I've won. So I think keeping that in mind has kind of helped guide my practice this week. And we'll see what the rest of the season holds.
All right, so I'm curious. Over the three rounds, we went 69, 74, 63. So what happened between the rounds? I mean, five shots worse in round two and 11 strokes better in round three. I mean, was the second round, did something just go crazy wrong? Or was there something that you found after round two, beginning round three, that kind of propelled you to 9 under 63?
I think in a lot of ways the second round kind of did motivate me. You know, after walking off the round that day, I think I was 2 under at one point during that round, and then ended up 2 over. And I think I just felt the wheels coming off a little bit during that round. I bogeyed 18 for the second day in a row, which I had started on 10, so that was my ninth hole. So for the second day in a row, I bogey 18, and then I go to number one, and I doubled number one because I was making some short game mistakes and just little errors here and there. And so now I'm, you know, one over par going into my 11th hole. And I don't know. I think that was really motivating because, last season I went through a bit of, you know, self-doubt and things, wanting to quit the game altogether. And, you know, I had shot under par in both the Monday qualifiers I played on, you know, for the LPGA tournaments coming into this. So I think I had a bit of expectation during that second round. And walking off the course at 2 over, you know, it's not a great score, at least for myself. And I was kind of disappointed. And so going in, you know, to that night, and I was kind of thinking about it and, you know, what could I do better? You know, what did I do well that day? Reflecting on it, and I just decided the last round, I mean, I had nothing to lose, and I knew my game was there. I just, you know, it all had to come together, and so I just, you know, made a commitment to myself that I'd trust myself and see where things went. So it was a really fun round.
Well, I mean, for those of us, I mean, who talk about golf for a living, and you know, we hand out momentum like Halloween candy. So do you wish you were playing this week or even next week to capture that momentum, or are you okay with the way the schedule is set up for you?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, actually. I haven't thought about it. But I think after last week, I was saying to someone that, you know, the media and the hype around it is so, you know, there's so much hype around it, which is a good thing. It's a really good thing that people are watching and all of that. But I kind of like the break to kind of celebrate what needs to be celebrated and then kind of refocus and regroup for the next week. I think if I went into an event right after, it would be either too short of a celebration or, you know, too much to handle, you know, playing another week with all the attention. So I think it's a good thing that I had, you know, this time off. I do wish I was playing this week. You know, a week off is good enough for me. But I do appreciate a little bit of the time away from, you know, the just straight competition after week.
Good for you. You know, enjoy it. Well, we're talking to Lauren Kim, the latest winner on the Symetra Tour. And I want to take you back. I mean, in 2015, you and Mariah Stackhouse really helped lead Stanford to its first national championship in women's golf and then back to the finals in 2017. And we have a lot of listeners who have children, grandchildren, a lot of golfers looking at college opportunities. And what was the hardest thing in making that transition from a top college player to the grind of trying to make it on tour?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. People ask me this a lot because there's a lot of us out there who finished 4 years of school, and I think it was a really important part of my development as a golfer and as a person. But I think the hardest part, for me at least, was actually not having the distraction away from golf. Because, you know, in school I had the team. There was always something, you know, fun happening with the team. We had team dinners and all of that. And then, you know, friends outside the golf world, and everybody's, you know, living on, at least at Stanford, everyone was living on campus. So, you know, it was a lot of social time and then a lot of schoolwork too. And so I had to juggle so much in college and had very little time to kind of overthink a lot of the golf. And so coming into professional golf, when that's really, you know, I mean, you're doing it as a full-time job every single day. And it's easy to not realize how much you know, time you need to rest and time you need to focus, and kind of trying to figure out, you know, what the best kind of cocktail is for your own game was really difficult for me. And then also just figuring out how to play 6 weeks in a row. That was really challenging too, because in college, you know, you'd play a tournament and then have a few weeks off and then, you know, go back out and play again. So learning how to keep your game up week after week after week is another challenge. So it is a big adjustment. I definitely won't understate how big of an adjustment it really is. But I mean, the more you can do to kind of recognize what you're doing well and what you're doing not so well, the better off you'll be.
All right. So take me through the reset a little bit of the, you know, kind of almost threatening to give it up to transitioning to getting out here in 2018 and making it happen. So how does that transition work? And did you set goals and did you already accomplish one of those goals?
Wanting to give it up last year was no fun. not a really great experience, but I think I was having a hard time. You know, I wasn't playing as well as I had expected to, which I think was my first problem, was expecting, you know, too much out of myself. But I think, you know, I wasn't playing great, and I was just doubting that it was the right thing, the right path for me to take right out of school, which, you know, when you're on the golf course trying to compete and then you're having these doubts in your mind, you know, it's hard to be very successful. So I think there were a lot of factors that kind of contributed to that feeling of, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right decision? And I found myself asking, you know, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing out here? Like, I shouldn't be out here. And so all of those negative thoughts constantly going through my mind. And I remember I was in, we drove from South Dakota to Garden City, Kansas. And that week in South Dakota, I actually got DQ'd from the tournament, which was the first time I had ever gotten DQ'd from any golf tournament, you know, since I started golf. And it was kind of a wake-up call. And then the next week we were in Garden City, Kansas, and it was super windy, and I played well the first 2 days and then kind of lost it the last day. And those 2 weeks were kind of a turning point for me, and a time when I really had to ask myself those tough questions. You know, what am I doing well? What do I enjoy about it? And what can I improve on? And so I think asking myself, you know, where do I find joy in golf? Why do I love it so much? And why am I willing to continue? Really kind of restored my hope in my game and in myself. And so I worked really hard on belief in the off season and positivity, and thinking, you know, about all the great aspects of professional golf that kind of get overlooked when you're not playing so well. And then came out this season, and I was just looking to have fun and enjoy golf again.
Well, Lauren, I mean, that's unbelievable that somebody goes from that to where you are now and a winner on the Symetra mm-hmm. Tour. And, you know, we usually give people a bump when they come on the show, but apparently you don't need one. So.
Yeah, the Golf Shop Radio bump is alive and well, and I think you just got the pre-bump.
Yeah, pre-bump.
Exactly.
You knew you were coming on. So anyway,
yeah.
Well, you know what? We're gonna keep watching and you know, go ahead and win two more times and get the Battlefield promotion up to the LPGA.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully that's what's happening.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.